Hello humans, welcome to Audio Face, a little special extra edition episode because this is the past us talking because we have
the present us wants a party vacation.
Yeah, because the present us wants us to sleep, the present tense. Ooh, that's a good song. Anyways, this is a little bonus episode for you guys, that way you can still get your Audio Face contact, and this is our state of the music industry, musicness, music, whatever,
2020,
bonus episode
yes.
of 2020.
We do this every single year, usually as a discussion section within Audio Face episodes. We decided to just do it a little bit differently this time and have this conversation. Yeah, it's a little more like free flowing. It's just like old school Audio Face back in the days.
Yeah, exactly.
We're just like talking about like our opinions on music and shit.
So yeah, we'll hop into it. Dan has a little couple thoughts. We'll get to the first thing, which is mainstream sound. What is the mainstream sound
of 2020?
Of 2020 especially. It's evolved for sure over the past about even 2-3 years. It's been starting to evolve more of this. A little bit more than just normal, generic, boring pop, but you still have the normal, generic pop being an influence and stuff, but it's not nearly as prevalent as before. Because you have artists like Billie Eilish, who's become a huge mainstream artist, but she's definitely not boring. Yeah. She's definitely not a normal mainstream artist, but you see more and more people like that coming up through the pipelines of music and really being true themselves, doing whatever they kind of want to do with sounds, which I think is very good for the music, especially for mainstream. You still have the normal stuff, like trap is still in the mainstream, and there isn't too much of evolution in the sound. There is still a little bit more, but like that's a really big thing you still hear a lot.
But like even I used to give trap most of the benefit of the doubt on this show for like there'd be parts of certain albums that seem like they're pushing the boundaries a little bit.
But
and that was me hoping that like that would lead to further boundaries.
It should be now, but it's not.
What ended up happening is that every trap album pushes boundaries in the same way, which is no longer pushing boundaries. It's just like,
a shame.
And like, yeah, every trap album feels like, okay, this is this artist rapping over this type of flow.
Yep.
Now it's that kind of beat. Now it's this sort of beat. Now it's a twist on the thing you've heard already. It's like, you can only do this so many times
before it just gets super monotonous. And that's what's going on with it, because the amount of trap that is out, just the amount of music and stuff that people are pushing within it is just, there's too much to consume.
I think there's even like, and it's affected the way we like sort of sort Audio Face, if you will, because there were a couple of like, even this week, there was Lil Baby's My Turn, the trap album that came out, and I was like, I'm not going to do it.
You're not going to do it because we know exactly what's going to happen, because that's the problem. That is the state of that mainstream sound. It's really stale. There's only maybe three artists in trap that actually do stuff that are different, but not very many. The rest kind of hit that mainstream stuff. It's really become a star fuck in trap, where you have even different artists crossing over from the pop genres, the rock genres, whatever, going into trap because they see, oh, this is the cool, this is the hip young thing to do, so maybe let me get into that stuff.
Yeah,
but
and trap is making its influences as it kind of was in 18 and 19, where it is making its way into certain aspects of alternative rock, certain aspects of, definitely aspects of pop for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But
the production of it.
Yeah, and it's even making, so there used to be like electronic music trap and then like rap music trap, and they are starting to blur together, which I think is a good thing. A little bit more, where like electronic music is starting to
like with what Caribou was doing. I like stuff like that where it's a spin on it, but it's something that is very unique where we haven't heard it before, because you expect to hear trap snare and what is coming up in the production of drums and stuff, but then you don't hear it. You hear a different way of almost replicating the sound, but with a different instrument. So you get that same tempo, that same style, but with something that sounds different. So it's like, oh, whoa, this is a little bit of a different take on it. But then plus all the added instrumentation on top of it, it doesn't overwhelm you with it, because that's what happens a lot with trap snare. That's what happened in alternative music, especially in 2017, 2018, with alternative rock, because, you know, my vendetta against it, because it just crept into alternative and just ruined it for 2 years, basically, because every fucking alternative artist was doing it at that time, pretty much.
Yeah, and it's good that they're branching out.
Yeah.
Even when you mentioned Caribou, that's like an extreme example of like doing this instrumentation or like experimentation with how trap can sound and other things.
Mm-hmm.
But just like the standard alternative trap way of doing it, where you have maybe like a chorus. I'm thinking like the Beck song "Wow," where the chorus is very trap inspired, but it's like
but
the trap
also
beats
"Wow"
the
was made 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Which is crazy to think. It was made in 2015.
Yeah.
So, but you already have, and that's still way more advanced than most of the work you get now. So it's funny because we've seen it before. We've seen people who have done it, but just, I don't know if people are lazy or it's just because the amount of music they're putting out, they just don't have the time to sit back and actually explore their art. A lot of people are doing it for money and other shit too. So yeah, there's a lot that's going on with it. I wanted to evolve more like that wow sound and do other things that we've seen before that just haven't been popping up as much. Another sound I know I've heard in the mainstream a lot, and this is within indie, alternative rock, main rock, and like some pop, is the stupid boom, boom, clap, snap. Thing, yeah, as I like to call it. Like, you get that a lot now where it's the clap snap thing that you hear in so much music, where even some of my favorite artists to do, like in Silver Sun Pickups, there's a song in Widow's Weeds in the album that had that snap thing. I'm like, god damn it. You had that with Of Monsters and Men in a couple of their tracks too, and I've heard it a lot this last year, and it's still, I hear it a little bit this year. I'm like, can we just get rid of that? It's like the trap snare, it's not as bad as it, because that was really annoying, but this one's just more of like, okay, it was cool when it happened maybe 2 years ago, but after that you need to evolve and stop doing the same shit that other artists have done. So that's a mainstream sound I hear a lot now as well. So it's not as bad as it has been before with mainstream. It's definitely evolving. You have way more experimentation, which is good, but there's still a little things we want to have push up.
Yeah, I mean, like, even the pop records that came out from like pop artists that we generally don't like, I feel like have been, I've gotten,
they've
better.
Been better, like Taylor Swift, she's
Taylor
gotten
Swift,
better.
Lana Del Rey.
Yeah, they've gotten better. Like, another thing too is the mainstream artists who are, like, we had the complaining era of politics, who people don't understand it, but now you have more mainstream artists who are doing politics, but they actually have an idea of what they're saying, because the lyrics and stuff, like, okay, you have a point with it for once, where you're not just complaining about shit, but not saying, you're just mouthing off without any substance in what your lyrics are. But you have more like Taylor Swift's single that came out with her Netflix special, whatever, a couple weeks ago. You had that, I'm like, oh, okay, cool. You're actually saying stuff of like the youth need, they're the future and this and that. So you have stuff that is coming out more, which I think is fantastic.
There's a song there's a difference between a song protesting a particular political opinion or expression that was made in one day or one week. But it's different when the music sort of takes a rooted stance in society.
Yeah, and exactly. What
those societal structures are becoming and transpiring themselves into, and how that becomes a song, and how you illustrate that feeling, that mood, that environment of the song. That's why, like, concept albums that put you in a mood and a mind space have been, like, so
always
great.
My favorite.
I'd like to see more of those in any year.
Is the other question we have, is rock still dead?
This is one of our hottest takes.
One of our hottest takes. It's hard to come back. I think it is. You have more and more bands that are starting to, I wouldn't say revert back, but they're starting to expand on the sound of rock. Like, indie was one of my favorite genres, right? And that, as I said a few years ago, that's going to really push rock into more of a mainstream now, more back into the mainstream, I guess.
I'd largely say you're right.
And it's definitely happened, because I think, like, the genre of bedroom pop, especially, because of how much that influenced millennials, people our age, and Gen Zs, the same stuff with that has now pushed rock into more of people our age now getting back into it. Because there was kind of a lost meeting with it, because you had people like in their 30s, 40s, 50s who grew up listening to it. And then you have people like me, who I'm stuck in the middle, but I still listen to it. And then you have younger generation who really didn't get into it, but now they're getting more into it. And even older bands like Incubus, they released Our Love single of a few weeks ago. And that was a very good rock sound. It still had that stupid snap thing, but it wasn't as prevalent in as other songs are, where it's not defined by it. But you have that guitar, drum, vocals, but it's still now trying to push it a little bit further, being a little bit more creative. So I'm definitely way more optimistic for rock, because especially last year you had Foles' album that was fantastic. Yeah. So there were some pickups, which was very good as well. You have more bands that are starting to explore out and do different things with it. So yeah, I think they listen to Audioface.
Yeah.
But I want to go with that.
Well, there's another point I had, I think, on like if rock is dead. But I think it's kind of, my point was going to be around whether, oh, this is what it's going to be about. So a lot of music, I think, kind of allude to this, is taking from the past and kind of trying to figure out how to twist it, because mm-hmm. another yeah. super hot take on Audioface was that funk is back. And funk definitely, it didn't seem like it was a complete renaissance where yeah. all of the pop hits became basically funk inspired yeah. or funk based, but a lot of great songs are still borrowing from this particular era in music, like 60s, 70s yeah. funk, disco, even the stuff you're doing that happened in the 60s and later 70s in electronic music is kind of being revisited and re-looked yeah, at and try sure. to see how do you modernize it, how do you make it new, how do you combine it with newer, more modern evolutions in music mm-hmm. to put something together and make it really interesting. And I'm seeing a lot of that, especially for because sure. we have this world where it's really easy to discover music, so a lot more musicians are able to get up there by taking these risks.
Yeah.
I think to Little Dragon's single that came out.
Hold on. Yeah, that's a good representation of that.
Yeah, it's this great sort of meeting. It's a fantastic meeting of alternative indie with pure funk, and it's just a really good beat.
Yeah, you have like Next to Me from James Isaac and Nozadzhdin. That's another track that's on my 2020 playlist that they...
linked in the podcast description.
Yes. And that's another track where it has that kind of like exploring different sounds and stuff. Early electronic music even, where it's like that, you know, Homework Daft Punk era style. Yes. But then what to do with all of that and put it into a song. And it's, you're getting a lot of good music right now too because of that. But anyways, with rock, I'm optimistic for it. Yeah. I think it's finally stepped up in the past because it really died down like
last 5 years.
Yeah, exactly. Like after about 20, like starting of 2014, because after like to me the last really good rock album was AM from Arctic Monkeys in late 2013, and after that that's when EDM started to explode around here and just like took over the mainstream for a couple of years
and then it's dying down and trap
was starting to get it, and now you have like this craziness of what the mainstream is, but I think it's starting to settle down now a little bit within that, and now different genres are coming back up and whatnot. So there's a lot to take from
that. Yeah. So we did talk about rap quite a little bit.
Yeah, we did already.
As it blends into pop and mm-hmm. it blends into rock, but I think it's worth just a little bit of time going on what can rap do better? What will make me want to put more rap albums on the reviews again that we're doing? And honestly, it'll be like...
I want more... a little bit more electronic inspired production of it.
That's for
this
sure.
is why I really, really like Big Fish Theory from Vince Staples, because that's exactly what he did. It's one of the few rap / trap, but it's now even barely any trap, and it's more just rap that has a really big house music inspiration from it. Because if you're a house head, you know house started in Chicago in the 70s, and then Chicago and Germany in the 70s. Because at the end of disco, and then with Germany, you had Kraftwerk, who really, those are the two things that started it. And you have so much inspiration, sounds and stuff from it that should be more into trap and rap, because you had that back in the 80s and 90s. You had a little bit of that with hip hop. You know, Run DMC had that because you had all the scratchy of records and other stuff that was in it. But now you have all of this past 30 years of electronic music that you can use and you could sample and stuff into albums. That's why I like Graduation from Kanye West so much, because he did that. He, you know, did songs with Daft Punk. He did a couple different things of electronic beats on it, and that's what makes it very unique. So that's what I really want to see more artists do, more like a Vince Staples style album where it's that inspiration from, because it makes it very...
It's more reflective of the times. And it's about time that rap has a major instrumental evolution, much the same way we went through cutting jazz records and scratching togethers towards mm-hmm. like baking our own beats. And then once we went to...
And then you go to 808s to then samples in 808s. And now to where it's just this trap thing that's just been overdone the past four years.
But you still have like on SoundCloud where like Blink-182 songs are being like... chopped and screwed and turned into trap songs, which is its own little unique and interesting thing. But I'd really like to see something that's done on a more professional caliber level, like you said, with electronic, I think. Yeah, because that'll think be the next like frontier.
What would be really cool, right, is if you have, insert artist here, you have Young Thug and Rez.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
You know how wild and hard that would go if you had, like, Young Thug just goes and is like, you know what, I like Rez. Just randomly, like, we'll just pick one of her tracks or whatever, chops it up, does some shit into it, and puts it into a trap song. You know how crazy that would be. That's what I want, just something that's super random and super wild into it. So I think that's what would make us listen to it more and then make it just evolve.
So you know, a lot of people are like that, because I've referenced this concert before. One of my favorite concerts was seeing Ray Shremmerd right before Oliver Heldens. So this trap group right before Deep House.
Deep House, exactly. And, like, it's so different.
They weren't performing together, and you would think, like, well, this doesn't make sense. They're like very different kind of things. Why would you bill them like next together on the same act? Unless you're trying to entertain a bunch of drunk college kids. But it actually like flowed and pieced together. Like, it didn't feel like a mismatched evening. Like, it didn't feel like we're having like Young Thug on one end and Dylan Francis on the other. Like, it wasn't like that clashing thing. It just like kind of smoothly went in. And so I think there's a lot of opportunities if artists are willing to explore them, and they should. So rather than like what Drake is doing and just like cash in another like shitty couple rap
exactly songs. Just that, or just the stupid features that everybody's doing on each other's work, so then it ends up being way too similar, and that's the problem with it right now. You do have artists that are obviously pushing it, like 21 is one of my favorites, obviously he pushes it a lot, but still sometimes he can get trapped in that world occasionally, he does a lot of features and stuff, but then his own works are pretty good. But anyways, you get that with the Weeknd singles that came out in November with Metro Boomin producing those.
Yeah.
And those are amazing because he used electronic beats from it. He used stuff from the 80s, electronic stuff, kind of like that British new wave, like new order style of 80s sounds. I put that into a trap beat with the Weeknd on it, and I thought those were fantastic, as much as I don't really like the Weeknd. But those two songs were amazing. So actually, we're going to have to review his album, which is coming out this year, too.
We would,
especially with those songs on it.
I think it is up to like those producers with the tags in their names. Like, it is up to them, especially the good ones. There's Metro Boomin, there's Mike Will Made It, there's a couple others who are like really top caliber. Mm-hmm. But I'll focus on Metro Boomin because he's shown with like...
Metro Boomin's... He's the best.
But he's shown like that he's really grown into his own from like producing trap beats the classic old school way now. Now talking about like 10 years ago to working with James Blake, working with The Weeknd, and actually evolving his sound out of trap music and into something that's trap infused with other stuff. Mm-hmm. That's the right direction, really.
Yeah, and I think that's good. Let's go into new trends. New trends. Again, I talked about the little snap clap thing, which I hate, so please stop that as a trend. New trends. Another one is within the kind of indie alternative rock scene thing is a big throwback to the 90s. Big throwback to the style, like stylistically, lyrically, production wise is a big throwback to kind of the grunge indie era of the 90s, because I think a lot of these artists who are Zeds, they didn't live in that era, especially. So they're like,
or the people who are like the later Zeds, or like just out of that, have nostalgia for that area.
Exactly.
Now it's like nostalgia bucks time.
Exactly. And like even the 1975 are doing that with a couple of their tracks on their upcoming album. Me and You Together song especially, like that's straight up Britpop, a song, which I mean, I do really like that song. But anyways, I've noticed that big time is that throwback, kind of that, even music videos and stuff where it's the bands that are just, it's like Blink-182 style, Stone Temple Pilots, all of that, Nirvana, where it's just, it's just that four-piece band. You're getting more of that within younger rock stuff, which is, I should have brought that into also the Rock Dead. That's another thing that's popping back up and is becoming really popular again. But then you have artists like Green Day that still try to bank on that, but it falls flat because they've already done it so much that we're kind of running out of ideas. But if
we don't necessarily want nostalgia per se. We want the influence and like relation to it. But we want you to push it forward. I think
example like a Bidi Dubi. She's one of those artists that she's what 18 or 19 or something like that.
Yeah,
and she has that kind of 90s theme style in her stylistic and stuff with her music videos and everything. But her music is. It's unique in that indie bedroom pop scene, and it's very good. So you see more of that in the trends in that world, because I live in that world. You have bigger bands and stuff who are starting to do that a little bit more as well. Electronic is starting to become more experimental more and more as I'm getting into different artists and stuff, which is good.
You can only have so many of these like festivals before people actually do start to get sick of it.
Exactly, and I think that in 2019, a lot of like the EDM stuff, people were starting to realize that. And it was.
I hope this is me getting a little bit too ahead of myself, but I hope that this is finally the year where like you really start to see a lot of that breaking.
Yes, and I'm hoping so too. And I think it is because within all of that stuff that's going on is the evolution needs to happen, and it's starting to happen now because you got to get that with a bunch of electronic albums that have already come out, even singles from other artists who are electronic inspired and stuff as well. So there's a lot of good trends. This year already in music is freaking ridiculous.
This is a really phenomenal year in music. I think 2020 is definitely gonna be one for the books for sure.
100%.
I guess other things I do want. I'm wary about this trend in music, which is something that we would describe like the use of bliss points in music. A lot of times it's overused in EDM. 1975 and M83 use it at times in their songs, and oftentimes for really good effect. But now
there's a fine line with bliss points for sure.
Yeah, because it could either be like too overwhelming or just right, or like completely under. I mean, it's very rarely underwhelming because that's just like the effect of what you're doing. But it's either just right or overwhelming. And as more artists try to get to that middle ground, I'm noticing that it's just a little bit kind of overwhelming. There's like way too many sounds. And not a lot of artists are able to do that. Which will show like who has the talent.
Yeah, because it's very, very hard to do that. George Daniels, the drummer for the 1975, he likes doing that. Yeah. And he's the one who produces most of their work. And he's one of those rare artists who knows how to hit it. M83, he can do that too. There's a couple other artists who do bliss points. Neon Indian does that too.
Yeah.
And he's one of those. He's probably... might be my favorite with bliss points because he knows how to do it where it's not overwhelming and it's introduced in an electronic way, but it makes it to where it's not just a giant sound.
So like Love It If We Made It versus Toyota Man. Mm-hmm. Like in Love It If We Made It, the bliss point is kind of like the crescendo. It's the thing the song is kind of trying to build up to as it's like the slow pounding thing. Whereas in Toyota Man, the bliss points are part of the chorus, but they almost act as an instrument.
Exactly.
Because the part that's like, it's the part that's creating like that moment of all this energy is happening in this song or in these notes is really just like the guitar strumming being very electric combined with other guitar strumming layered over it to kind of create this.
Plus all of the backing vocals of all of the people that are on it too. Because you have like the children's voices, all of the adult voices, plus then Neon Indian himself.
It's an intense harmony.
Yeah, and it works. It's also extremely hard to do.
Yeah, especially it's hard to do, to Neon Indian's credit, to wield it as an instrument. As opposed to, like I said, the 1975, not like knocking them, but it's more of a destination.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's why I said Neon Indian is my favorite with that, because he uses it as another voice, another thing that's just very, very rare. And that's why he's one of my favorite artists. Definitely in my top 5, top 10, depending on how I feel.
I'm looking forward this year in music a lot. I really want rap music especially to surprise me. I'm going to try really hard to look in there. But there are just not a lot of albums that have been doing it, especially in 2018.
And we got tired of it too because of how much we listened to in 2018 and 2019. We were still
really gave it a chance.
We did. I mean, shit, I did.
Yeah.
Which... I don't like to do that, but, you know, we do it for the people, for the podcast. But anyways.
Looking forward to bringing you more fun new music. Yeah. Next week, we're going to have a really big episode with Fantagram, Joywave, Noel Horan, Pierre Bruin, and John. We may, like, move a couple of those around and, like, put them elsewhere. We have Little Dragon later this month. I know we have a lot of other artists coming out. So make sure you subscribe to Audioface so you don't miss any of those music reviews. I don't miss any of our like bonus episodes where we take deeper dives into music itself or aspects of music culture. In addition to like this, everyone knows about our bonuses episodes that we do with digging deeper into an artist's history. We also do just regular episodes with people that are just like talking about music in a way where they can dig deeper into it. I would love to do an episode with like BAM and early like electronic like house music.
Yeah, because I would actually love to sit down and talk with him that because we realized when we went to the Tom York concert together, he's a real one for taking me that, by the way.
BAM from We Made a Podcast.
Yes. We were talking about how we used to watch live streams of Boiler Room back in the day in like 2009, 2010. And it was funny because he was like, wait, we were on the same chat together, but we didn't know each other until a couple years later. So it was funny to hear his things because we were always saying like American crowds are so bad and stuff, especially house, because like they don't know what to do with it. And then, like, even when we would go to different underground shows, how the state of it almost a decade ago of that underground scene is so different to what it is now. Because we both got out of it a little bit because we were seeing, like, trends and stuff that we didn't like, and also because we didn't have the time, but then we're getting more into it, getting back into it. So I think that would be a very good conversation.
I think with, like, we're talking a lot about electronic music, but I think there's always like a renaissance whenever there's a lull point,
and it's happening. And I think it's
happening again because people are very kind of overdone by the hypey kind of thing that's become. The whole like big band.
Basically, we need a new Junior Boys album. That's what we really need.
Yeah, new Junior Boys.
We need Junior Boys.
Junior Boys, come save us.
Yes. Anyways, this has been Audio Face,
The
bonus episode since we are off. Follow us at all the social medias at Audio Face Pod. Follow Dan on Twitter at Dan from the Web, on Instagram at Dan from the Internet. You can follow me at SW Suarez on everything. And yeah, thank you for listening. Always give us a little
rating if you're listening.
Tips. Rating, please.
Apple Podcasts.
Let us know if you want us to review any artists, as always, or if you have different discussion topics that you want us to do. Let us know. Other than that, have a wonderful day. And
bye. Have a good week.